Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Codependent No More, How to Stop Controlling Others and Start Caring for Yourself by Melody Beattie is a foundational self-help book in recovery literature, first published in 1986 and later revised for new readers. Its subject is codependency, a pattern in which a person becomes excessively absorbed in another person's problems, behavior, moods, or crises while neglecting personal needs and identity. Beattie wrote for people affected by addiction in families and relationships. But the book has been widely applied to many forms of emotional overfunctioning, compulsive caretaking, and boundary difficulty. The purpose of the book is not to diagnose others or assign blame. It asks readers to examine their own reactions, responsibilities, fears, and choices through plain language, personal reflections, practical exercises, and recovery-oriented principles. Beattie presents codependency as learned behavior that can be unlearned through detachment, boundaries, self-care, and renewed attention to one's own life. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, codependency is losing oneself in another person's crisis. A central contribution of Codependent No More is its clear framing of codependency as a loss of self rather than simply excessive kindness. Beattie describes the codependent person as someone whose emotional life becomes organized around another person's addiction, instability, irresponsibility, anger, depression, or chronic problem. The issue is not ordinary concern for someone else. The problem begins when concern becomes obsession, when another person's choices determine the codependent person's mood, schedule, self-worth, and sense of safety. This makes the book distinctive because it shifts attention from the troubled person to the person who is reacting to the trouble. Beattie argues that many codependent people believe they are helping, yet their actions often become attempts to manage outcomes they cannot control. This produces exhaustion, resentment, guilt, and confusion because the codependent person assumes responsibility without having real authority. The insight is practical recovery begins by noticing where one's attention, energy, and identity have been transferred to another person's life. By naming this pattern, Beattie gives readers a way to distinguish compassion from self-abandonment. Secondly, reactive living as a learned survival response. Beattie presents codependency as learned behavior, often developed in families or relationships shaped by addiction, secrecy, unpredictability, or emotional neglect. The book does not treat codependent reactions as moral defects. It explains them as strategies that may once have helped a person survive an unstable environment. Hypervigilance, people-pleasing, emotional monitoring, over-explaining, rescuing, and controlling can make sense when a child or partner is trying to reduce conflict or anticipate danger. Over time, however, these responses become automatic. The person reacts before choosing, absorbs responsibility before evaluating it, and confuses anxiety with duty. This mechanism is important because it explains why codependency persists even when the person intellectually knows that controlling others is impossible. The body and emotions have learned to scan for threat and intervene. Beattie's emphasis on reactivity helps readers understand that change requires more than deciding to stop worrying. It requires recognizing triggers, pausing before action, tolerating discomfort, and gradually replacing survival habits with deliberate choices. The book therefore links personal history to present behavior without making history an excuse for staying stuck. Thirdly, detachment as care without control. One of the book's most influential ideas is detachment, especially the distinction between caring about someone and controlling that person. Beattie uses detachment to describe an emotional and behavioral shift in which readers stop organizing their lives around fixing, rescuing, monitoring, or preventing another person's consequences. Detachment is not indifference, punishment, or abandonment. It is the recognition that each person has a separate life, separate choices, and separate responsibilities. This concept matters because many codependent patterns are sustained by the belief that love requires constant intervention. Beattie challenges that belief by showing how intervention can become intrusive, resentful, and ineffective when it is driven by fear. Detachment allows a person to remain compassionate while refusing to take ownership of another person's behavior. In practical terms, this may mean not covering for harmful actions, not arguing endlessly to force insight, not sacrificing basic needs to prevent someone else's discomfort, and not confusing anxiety with responsibility. The principle gives readers a concrete alternative to both over-involvement and emotional cutoff. It supports a more balanced form of relationship in which care is possible without self-erasure. Fourthly, boundaries and self-care as personal responsibility. Beattie's account of self-care is more rigorous than simple comfort or relaxation. In Codependent No More, self-care means accepting responsibility for one's own feelings, needs, limits, choices, finances, goals, body, and emotional safety. This is paired with boundaries, because a person cannot practice self-care while continually allowing others' problems to override personal rights and limits. The book repeatedly emphasizes that saying no, asking for what one needs, leaving harmful situations, and refusing abuse are not selfish acts. They are forms of responsible living. This is a major corrective for readers who equate worth with usefulness or who feel guilty whenever they stop rescuing. Bietti also presents responsibility in a balanced way. Readers are not told to ignore obligations to children, partners, friends, or communities. Instead, they are asked to distinguish true responsibility from assumed responsibility. True responsibility includes one's own conduct and legitimate commitments. This distinction is one of the book's most practical tools because it helps readers make decisions under pressure, especially when guilt or fear makes every boundary feel cruel. Lastly, recovery tools that translate insight into daily practice. The book's practical force comes from its use of accessible exercises, reflection prompts, examples, and recovery language rather than abstract theory alone. Bietti writes for readers who may be emotionally overwhelmed, so the structure favors recognition and repeated practice. Readers are encouraged to identify codependent behaviors, examine resentments, notice fear-based reactions, consider support groups or professional help when appropriate, and build routines that return attention to their own lives. This practical orientation is important because codependency is described as a pattern, not a single mistaken belief. Patterns require repeated interruption. Journaling, self-assessment, affirmations, and boundary experiments help readers observe the gap between what they intend and what they actually do when anxiety rises. The book also uses personal and counseling-based examples to make the material recognizable without relying on technical clinical language. A limitation follows from the same accessibility readers seeking detailed psychological research, trauma treatment protocols, or individualized clinical guidance may need additional resources. Still, the book's method is well-suited to its purpose. It gives non-specialist readers a usable vocabulary and a set of first steps for changing entrenched relational habits. In conclusion, Codependent No More is most useful for readers who repeatedly feel responsible for other adults, become consumed by a loved one's addiction or dysfunction, struggle to say no, confuse caretaking with love, or lose track of personal needs inside relationships. It can also benefit readers who are not connected to addiction but recognize patterns of rescuing, monitoring, resentment, guilt, and emotional overinvestment. The practical benefit is a clearer distinction between care and control. The intellectual benefit is a framework for understanding how dysfunctional systems train people to react, overfunction, and abandon themselves while believing they are being responsible. Compared with many self-help books, it stands out because it helped popularize the language of codependency for a broad audience and connected that language to recovery practices that ordinary readers could apply. Its tone is direct, compassionate, and non-technical, which makes difficult relational patterns easier to identify. It is not a substitute for therapy, crisis support, or trauma treatment, especially in situations involving abuse, addiction, or serious mental health risk. Its enduring value lies in its focused message: people cannot recover by managing someone else's life. They begin by reclaiming attention, responsibility, and care for their own. If you would like to support Melody Bietti, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.